Good morning from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church in beautiful Silver Hill, Alabama, and welcome to our Sunday morning worship encouragement, God's Loving Kindness in the Morning. Let's begin with Martin Luther's morning prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me through the night from all harm and danger. I pray that you would keep me this day from all sin and evil, that in all my thoughts and words and deeds I may serve and please you. Into your hands I commend my body and soul and all that is mine. Let your holy angels be with me, that the evil one may have no power over me. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is in his holy temple. His throne is in heaven. The Lord is near to all who are of a humble and a contrite spirit. He hears the requests of the penitent and listens to their prayers. Let us therefore draw near with boldness to his throne of grace and confess our sins. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, I have sinned and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak, and blameless when thou dost judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Lutherans subscribe to the great confessions of faith of the early church. God has not changed, and our faith remains firm in the teachings of the Bible. That's why we often share what is called the Apostles' Creed in our weekly worship. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Well, let's pray together as we ready our hearts for today's Bible reading. Gracious Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to the earth and sharing your good news of salvation for mankind. Open your holy word to us this morning. Along with our Heavenly Father and your Holy Spirit, minister to our hearts and nurture us in your word. Amen. Here's the scene. Jacob fled from his brother Esau, arrived in what is now Syria, finds a relative, and ultimately works 14 years for two wives. The wives are relatives, and it is hard to leave relatives, particularly in ancient times. Now he has fled Syria, and he is on his way back home, to the home from which he fled, where his brother resided. And he's scared. He comes up with a plan, separating his wives and children and his servants into two groups. He sends them across a little stream and spends the night alone. Jacob is confronted by a man in the dark. The sense of Genesis is that the man is God himself, and we have a picture of a physical struggle between man's will and God's will. We pick up this saga in Genesis 32, verses 22 through 31. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What's your name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men, and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed them there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Therefore to this day the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip in the muscle that shrank. Remember, we are talking about events that transpired 4,000 years ago. Here's what we know from the Bible record. Jacob did not get along with his brother Esau. He ended up bargaining for the family birthright and obtaining it by taking advantage of his brother. He fled from Esau to Syria. By some shenanigans, he breeds color traits into sheep and goats and manages to build a personal herd from nothing to something very substantial. Along the way, he obtains 2 wives and 11 children, not to mention the wealth of servants, animals, and other things. He flees Syria only to be chased and caught. If God had not intervened, he might have been killed and all that he had forfeited. He finally enters his homeland, but he is so scared of his brother Esau that he comes up with a strategy to work around the anger of his brother. It is at this point that God confronts Jacob. God has been very kind to Jacob. He has learned many things in his sojourn. He has learned about the consequences of being borderline dishonest. He doesn't learn enough and practice dishonesty with his uncle Laban, his father-in-law. He gets away with it again with the help of God, but when he gets to Peniel, he must deal with God. Some feel that the stranger in this event is the pre-incarnate Christ, Jesus himself. Others see this stranger as an angel of the Lord, that is, the embodiment of our Heavenly Father himself. It is very apparent that Jacob knew this stranger was quite different from people. The Genesis record records that Jacob knew the stranger was God himself. Here's what happens. There is a conflict or struggle. Jacob loses. His leg is crippled because of a nerve injury. But Jacob will not give up. He demands a blessing or he will not let the stranger go. Jacob gets the blessing and the stranger proclaims Jacob the winner because of his persistence. But he is the one who limps away the loser. God reveals to Jacob that he will always lose when it comes to God, unless it is our Heavenly Father's will. Think about this. Jacob is the grandson of Abraham. The Bible explains that Abraham and God had a very close relationship. In fact, the book of Genesis explains that Abraham was the friend of God. Jacob, the grandson, never understood that God could be a friend. He treats God as an enemy. He struggles with the Lord himself and discovers that he cannot win. Even when he loses, he will not give up. Genesis tells us that at this point of recognition, Jacob became Israel. That is, in Hebrew, the one who prevails and struggles with God. Now, there is much more to Jacob and his family history in Genesis, but you get the idea. What does it have to do with you and me in the 21st century? After all, these events occurred 4,000 years ago. If there are 4 generations every 100 years or so, that is 100 generations ago. Can there be any relevance here? The answer is yes. We know that people look for direction in life. They look in a variety of places. In Jacob's time, much advice would come orally. If we look at our lives, we are much the same. We seek the advice of friends and relatives, teachers and coaches, counselors, you name it. Many times this advice is completely oral, so we can understand Jacob's dilemma. There were no aptitude tests 2000 BC, and there were no APTs or college board exams to help with direction. If we operated like Jacob today, we would say that we were winging it. Well, Abraham, Jacob's grandfather, never winged it. He walked with God. Jacob only walks with God when he is confronted by God himself by that Jabbok brook. We understand from the Bible that God works in brokenness. This does not mean that God will not give us direction in life, but it does mean that we don't receive direction very well when our pride is in control. It was only when Jacob was broken that he understood that God is in control. Perhaps you are dealing with direction issues in your life. The Bible tells us about direction. The Bible gives us a picture of a man who walks with God, Abraham, and a picture of a man who walks apart from God, Jacob. But you and I, like Jacob, have no independence from God. In the book of Romans, St. Paul explains that God is not only the reason that we exist, but that he is the very purpose for which we are. Just like Jacob, God has his plan for you and me, his purpose. We can resist God's plan like Jacob did and have all kinds of stress and struggle in life. Or we can embrace that plan like Abraham did and have God's very friendship and support. The Bible tells us that we are a created being, created perfect. Our forebears lived in the Garden of Eden and were very close to our Heavenly Father. God's enemy Satan entered that garden and enticed mankind into sin. The wages of sin is death, and mankind would forever die because of sin. God knew the problem and promised a Savior from sin and death. The Bible explains that there is no forgiveness of sin, no restoration to our Heavenly Father without the shedding of blood. When your blood is gone, you're dead. In order to be restored to God, you have to have a sacrifice that is dead. God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price of restoration. He gave up his life on the cross of Calvary to restore us to God. Jesus Christ died for Jacob, for Abraham, for you, and for me, that we can be restored to God, whether we have rebelled against him or not. We cannot flee from God. Circumstances will bring a Jabbok brook across our path, and we must confront our Heavenly Father and his plan for his creation. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ died to restore us to God, to restore us to God's plan for our lives. Have you considered God's plan for you? Or are you looking for a Jabbok brook in your own pineal? As we end our time together, let us join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, please join us for worship this morning at 10 a.m. if you can. Zion Lutheran Church is a liturgical traditional Lutheran church located in Silver Hill on the corner of 4th Avenue and 7th Street. We are one block south of State Highway 104 and two blocks west of Highway 55. If you find the Silver Hill Library landmark, you are just a block away. Look for our signs. Want more information about our Lutheran Fellowship? Come to our website, www.lutheransinsilverhill.com, or give us a call at 945-5209. May God bless you in your spiritual walk this week, and don't forget to catch God's loving kindness in the morning next Sunday, same time and same place on your radio dial. These past days and weeks, Zion Lutheran Church of Silver Hill has been privileged to share God's holy word with you in the morning. As part of the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations, the fourth largest Lutheran denomination in the United States, we support daily Bible reading and prayer. If you do not have a Bible and would like a complimentary paperback copy of the New King James Version Bible, call us at 945-5209 and give us your name and address or phone number.